Well, my friends, would you please turn with me in your Bible today to our first Advent message? I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. I am going to read the first five verses. Today's message is about hopeful preparation for Christ's coming. Hopeful preparation for Christ's coming. I am going to start in Isaiah 40 and then work through a series of passages that will lead us to finally you and us today. It's Isaiah chapter 40, and I will start reading in verse 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of our God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. Her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, truly, may the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word today. This morning, I'm going to be talking about, in the Old Testament, men and women put their hope in preparing themselves for the coming Messiah. That was their hope. I'm putting my hope in the words of God for the coming Messiah. You just read one of them. There's many. I just picked a popular one. We're going to see then the second half of my message is now us looking back and saying, my hope is I know what Christ has done, and I am going to be looking to the second advent. I'm putting my hope in God still keeping his word to us. In the same way God kept his word to our many brothers and sisters in the Lord up until his first advent, his first coming, we today are now looking for the second advent, the second coming, and we're putting our hope in that God would deliver us as well. So these are the two components that you are going to be hearing me talking about today. As we look to the scriptures throughout the ages, the Word of God has always been talking about spiritual preparation. When you and I read the Old Testament, it was always, love me, adore me, take care of your brothers and sisters, I am coming soon. Well, 1,400 years later, he shows up. Now, after he has shown up, what does scripture tell us? It continues to tell us to be spiritually prepared and look for my second advent, look for my second coming. So today's message is going to revolve around that. I'm going to review some Old Testament passages about the first advent and then end my message with three different passages about you and I spiritually preparing for the second advent. So if you would notice, I'm going to ask you to, again, look with me in the Isaiah 40, and that's where we're going to start. Isaiah chapter 40. And notice what he says again. He says, comfort, comfort my people in verse 1. And then we hear in verses 3, 4, and 5, it says, in the wilderness, and it says, prepare the way of the Lord. make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You heard him say it. This is the Old Testament talking about the first advent, and it's prepare a way. Be prepared. And here Isaiah is talking about someone who will come, who will help to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't tell us who. But notice what the observation is. Isaiah had prophesied some 750 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. And he spoke about the Lord coming, and that prior to the Lord's coming, the Lord would prepare, someone would come and prepare the way for him. And then notice what it's talking about. In verse 3, or I'll back up a moment, he's going to use metaphorical language in this. And you'll see it when we read it. And he's going to be talking about Israel in this way. He's going to be, in verse 3, he says, Israel is a spiritual desert. That's in verse 3. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The wilderness. You're hearing it. There's a spirit. They are a spiritual wilderness. He's not talking about a literal desert. He's talking about people. And then you'll notice he calls them a desert. He says they're a wilderness and they're a desert in verse 3. And that they're a major road project needed to be cut right through the middle of this spiritual wilderness of people. And then verse 4, this spiritual road needed to be cut over ravines. They called it valleys, but it had to be across a valley. And other times they had to tunnel through granite. But he says, I am going to make all these level. Now, all of us today drive on expressways, interstates. And what do? You've been on them. I know you've. And what do? When it comes to a ravine or something, they put a big span in. They either backfill it, they take half of the mountain off of this side and push it into the ravine on this side, and they level it out. Now, isn't it amazing? Here's Isaiah knew this these thousands of years ago. But he's not talking about building roads, is he? He's talking about spiritual relationships, removing all hindrances. Picture this. If you and I were here in 1717, what would this area look like? Huh? Would you be driving your car down the road? Well, you get the idea. Things needed to change. And all this change was from in Isaiah 40, verse 5, and that the glory of the Lord would be revealed. That's what we're talking about. And his glory was to redeem a people for his own possession. That these people who he's calling a wilderness, that he's calling here a desert, now that will change. That will change. I'm going to ask you to move to another popular passage, and it's the last book and the last words in the Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. These are the last words we hear out of the Old Testament. I know I jumped over a lot of other biblical truths, but I don't think you want to sit here till 5 tonight. No, because Margaret and Steve brought a lot of good food. So these are the last words out of the Old Testament. And I'm going to read Malachi, and I'm going to read actually chapter 3 and verse 1. And then I'll jump down and catch a couple of others. But notice what it says. Last words, the last book of the Old Testament, just before you and I turn to the book of Matthew. And in Malachi 3 says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will, what do we have there? Now, isn't it amazing? 750 years before, Isaiah talked about this. Here it is again. And he will prepare the way for me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. And what did Jesus do when he first exposed himself? He went to the temple in John chapter 2. And what did he do? Turned over the money changers. He said, you're hearing it. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, by the way, Malachi was written 400 years before Jesus Christ came. So this wasn't like a week before kind of stuff. Okay? And so, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So we're hearing John the Baptist will come, bring the message before the Jesus Christ himself will come and come to the temple. You're hearing it. You're reading it. So here there was a need for spiritual preparation. This is giving people hope in a time when things are hopeless. They are spiritually a desert. They're spiritually wild. Okay? Jump down with me now so we can move along sort of quickly. Malachi chapter 4. And verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you, and it says Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord's coming. And he, that would be the Elijah, will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land in a decree of utter destruction. The idea is the fathers and sons are turning now to the Lord. The father's speaking to the sons are speaking back, yes, we're following God. So verse 5 tells us that the Lord is going to send Elijah, the prophet, just before Christ comes. He's going to prepare, fill in the ravines, the valleys, and lower the hills. He's got to smooth this out so we can travel a little bit easier spiritually. And then verse 6 tells you that this Elijah's responsibility would be to do what? How would he raise the valleys, lower the mountains? He would turn the hearts. That's in verse 6. He's turning hearts. And these are the last words we hear from the Old Testament before we hear about John coming, who would be there to spiritually prepare, to spiritually awaken. Now, I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In Luke 1, verses 67 through 79, in which Russ has so graciously read to us this morning, we heard about John the Baptist's father prophesying about his son and saying to him, and would you follow along with me? It's Luke chapter 1, and I'll be looking at verse 76 through 79. This is John the Baptist's father at his birth. And you, child, that'll be John, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to, and what does he? Prepares the way. This is his father prophesying about his own son, fulfilling the Malachi passage, fathers and sons. You getting it? To give, and what is he supposed to give to us? What was he supposed to give to Israel? The knowledge of salvation to his people, that would be the Jews or Israel, and that knowledge would be for the forgiveness of sins. That's in verse 77. That's what he was doing. That was basically his message. Be right with God, repent of your rebellion against God, and ask for forgiveness. That's real basic message, isn't it? And so verse 78, because of the tender mercy of God, God is using John, showing I will be merciful to the people and I'm going to prepare them. So when my son comes on the scene, his first advent will be a glorious event. Notice what he goes on. Because the tender heart of mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace, that's he's talking about having peace with God. Remember, every single individual since Adam has been born under the wrath of God. That's John 3:36. That's John 3:18. You're already under the wrath of God. You are not at peace with God. Here is John's dad, Zechariah, saying, now that John is coming, he's going to expose us to understanding what's going on. He's going to enlighten us, and we are no longer going to be in spiritual darkness and be under that shadow of death. But we will be at peace with God. John's dad, Zechariah, saw and understood that a new spiritual day was dawning. And his son, John, would be the leading edge of that spiritual transformation that would be taking place. John was the prophet whom the prophets, Isaiah and Malachi, and there are others, I wasn't going to spend time going over that, they were all speaking about. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 15. But in particular, I will start in verse 10. In Matthew chapter 11, here the apostle Matthew remembers and tells us what Jesus had taught him and the other disciples, other apostles, about John the Baptist. So this is Matthew talking to us. What did he witness about John the Baptist? It's Matthew chapter 11, and notice what he will say in verse 10. Matthew 11, 10. Here, Jesus is quoting Malachi 4, 5. For this is he of whom it was written. He's quoting it. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. This is indicating that John the Baptist was the promised messenger who was prophesied by Isaiah and Malachi, who was sent by the Father in heaven to spiritually prepare the way for Jesus Christ. Notice what it goes on to say in Matthew 11, verses 13 and 14. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. He was the last Old Testament prophet. Verse 14, and if you are willing to accept it, who does he tell us? He is that Elijah that was prophesied. He's the last prophet who is to come. Jesus said to those who were listening that John the Baptist was in fact the promised messenger who is spiritually preparing Israel for his, Jesus Christ's, first advent. And that in fact John was the Elijah who was promised to come and who would preach repentance of one's sins. And so from these few verses, we are able to see that God had a plan, and that plan was to redeem a people, Israel. So God sent John the Baptist to spiritually prepare the people of Israel so that they would listen to the message of the messenger, Jesus Christ himself. So many did listen to John, and many did not listen to John. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter 3. And there's a story here in Luke chapter 3 in verses 7 through 18 when John was preaching in the wilderness. And it said many people were flocking to him. They were listening to the message of repentance that he was preaching about sin. And why were so many listening? Because John was proclaiming peace to them, comfort to them, and warning to them about the coming promised Messiah. And so, if you I don't know if you have a study Bible. On Luke chapter 3 and verse 1, does yours have something that says John the Baptist speaking or preparing the way? It'll be a heading. So here it's Luke 3, and he's talking about he's preparing. He's spiritually preparing. He's raising the valleys, lowering the mountains. He's removing all the obstacles. And so, I notice with me in Luke chapter 3 in verses 7 and 8, this is John's message, or part of it. So he, that had been John, said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized to him, and I love this. Would you guys listen to me as if I use this kind of a sermon prep? You brood of vipers. I think this place would empty out pretty quick. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then he tells them, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I'll stop there and pause a moment. What he was saying is, a person who is Jewish is saying, well, I belong genetically to Abraham, so therefore I'm in. I was born into a Jewish family, therefore I'm going to see God, I'm in. There's no, I don't have to do anything else. And in this case, he says, and do not begin to say to yourselves, oh, I don't have any problems, I'm Jewish, I'm in, I'm one of God's people. And this is John saying this. And then this is what he tells them. If you're thinking that, I'm okay. Listen to what John says. I tell you, God is able from those stones to raise up children for Abraham. He does not need you. Verse 9, even now, and I think this is scary, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Notice it's plural. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He's talking about people. He's talking about Jewish people that he's speaking to. If you are not being a godly man and godly woman, that axe is already at your root. You're dead meat. As I thought of this, I thought, this is not some soft and tender message. Oh, it's okay. It's not a problem. It'll all work out in the end. No, he's going, you vipers, you don't even know what's going on. You're dead meat. You can hear it. You just read it. And the sad part is he tells them they needed to repent of their sins. And they bear spiritual fruit. What will be the evidence of you bowing the knee? You will start to respond and do those biblical things that Scripture says, this is what is pleasing to the Lord. Within your mind, within your attitude, the way you talk, the way you conduct yourself, maybe like the way I stop rolling my eyes every time I think something is disgusting. Oh, can you believe that guy? Well, no, you can. You work on that. I know I do. And all of this is, how do we do it? By obeying God's word. That is spiritual preparation. You are preparing now. So this is what John was saying back here. Prepare, he's coming. Are you prepared? He's coming. He was teaching repentance as preparation to the Jews just before the first advent. And many Jews had repented and believed. Many Jews had all heard the story about Zechariah, his dad, prophesying, and how he had went into the temple, how Zechariah, the dad, before John was born, went into the temple, and he was serving God, everything. Why is he in there so long? What's going wrong? He's just supposed to do some incense up unto the Lord. He's in there. So he comes out, he can't even talk or hear. People are going, what's going on? What's going on? Later, he's now can't speak or anything for, what, 9 months, 10? John comes along, and they said, the baby's name's going to be called John. No. He's got to be called Zechariah. No, call him John. And then he starts speaking again. Everybody in the town is amazed. Here he was, a priest, a godly man who went into the temple, comes out and now prophesies, this boy is going to be used by God, be the forerunner before the Messiah comes. Do you think people are listening? Now he's out in the wilderness saying, prepare yourself, repent, trust in what God has promised. He's coming, are you ready? And many people did. That many people did repent. And many people came. And I'd like to share with you a little insight out of the Gospel of John. It's chapter 4 and verse 35. Many came and heard John the Baptist's message of repentance for their sins. And Jesus acknowledges this in an echo. And I think you've heard me say what an echo is enough. It's an inference of a truth that you know to be true, but without someone going, oh, by the way, it's on page 5 and it's third paragraph down. Notice what he says, and it's John chapter 4 and verse 35. And Jesus is talking with the disciples, and he says to them this, look, I tell you, he's talking to the disciples, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. He's not talking about harvesting a grain field, okay? Already, the one who reaps is receiving wages. There's people going to be out leading people to the Messiah and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower, and who would have been the sower? You better be thinking John the Baptist, because he was the forerunner before Jesus Christ. And the reaper, who would be the reaper? Jesus Christ, that may rejoice together. Do you hear what he's talking about? John went before him, an Old Testament prophet, goes before Jesus Christ, prophesied over 750 years before that he will come. He will prepare the way. He will plow the ground. He will sow the seed of repentance. Christ comes and brings what? The new covenant. And now Jesus is saying, we are receiving already the rewards of saving men's souls. Because John has already sowed the seeds, and I'm also now reaping it. Do you hear it? John 4:35. I believe he's referring to John the Baptist in that. It's an echo of what he has done. So now that we know these truths, how does this influence you and me? What is this, just good information that Pastor John just happened to mention on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? The idea was that we needed to trust in Christ alone. and we needed to repent of our sins. Are we preparing today, as John had warned that generation to prepare for the first advent, are we today preparing for the second advent? Are we doing that? I'll ask you a question. So how are we spiritually preparing ourselves for the second advent, the second coming? I'm going to point out three things. There are three different passages for those scribbling it down. The first one we're going to be looking at is 1 John. 1 John, it's his letter, chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 2 through 7. And it's talking about we need to purify ourselves in a Christ-like manner. It's 1 John, chapter 3, and it'll be 2 through 7. And it's about purifying yourselves in a Christ-like manner. The second passage that I'm going to have us turn to is Matthew chapter 25. And this is going to be Jesus speaking. We're going to be looking specifically at verses 3 and 4, but it's actually verse 1 through 13. And it talks about you and I need to be active while we are waiting. Right now, we need to be spiritually active while we're waiting for the second advent. We need to be spiritually preparing ourselves. All right? And then the third one that we'll read through, and then the message will end, will be Luke chapter 12 and verses 35, Luke 12, 35 through 48. To whom much is given, much will be required. So these are those things that we need to be aware about our hope is in the Lord. And are we preparing ourselves in this manner that Scripture is talking about? Would you please turn with me to our first passage in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 2 through 7. And this is going to be talking about purifying yourself in Christ-likeness by preparing yourself for the second advent. Notice it starts in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be like has not yet appeared, but we know that when He, that's Jesus, appears, second advent, we shall be like Him, because He shall see Him as He is. We will see Him in His glorified state with a perfect body as a human and as God. Verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in Him, that would be Christ, and what do? We purify yourself as Christ is pure. You desire to be pleasing in His sight. You put off the old way of thinking and you put on new thinking. So if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you love Him and you desire to obey Him, means that you are putting on that new eternal hope that is in Christ by putting on His truths that change you. You stop doing certain things that are not pleasing to the Lord. That is what he's talking about. You're preparing yourself. You're purifying yourself. You're able to do it because the Holy Spirit is there leading you and guiding you, which is another truth you could add to this, but not enough time today. Anyways, go down in the verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of, do you see it? If you're making a practice of sinning, also practices lawlessness. You're saying, I am not listening to God. Sin is lawlessness. And guess who happens to know the difference? Notice verse 5. You know that he, that is Jesus, appeared to take away sins. When did he do that? First Advent. And in him there is no sin. That's why he's our high priest representative. Verse 6. No one who abides in him, what does it, keeps on sitting. Didn't say that you didn't sin. It's saying this has not become your routine, that you're not rebellious. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. And so verse 7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. All right, so this is what we look for. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous. You're godly as Jesus is righteousness. So if you see a person that is habitually swearing, cursing, well, you know, okay, did they trust in Christ? Maybe. And they're working on it. But if it doesn't start changing, then you know something's wrong. And it goes on. What examples do you want to throw into it? It doesn't matter. The idea is if you see someone habitually doing things wrong and they're not changing, we as believers should be approaching them and saying, you know, John, that's not a good idea. Why do you do that? You do it because you love them. I used to use a friend of mine. He'd say to him, I said, you know, Gary, I'd rather have you stick a needle in my eye than stick me in the back with a knife. The guy who comes up and looks you in the face and says, you're pretty stupid, you better stop doing that or you're going to die. Or the guy that comes back and keeps patting you on the back and says, go ahead, go ahead. Here we hear it. No one who keeps on sinning knows him. Does that mean that you will never sin? No. But you don't make a practice of it. Let's move on to the next one, all right? It's Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And it's a parable about 10 virgins being spiritually prepared. And it's Matthew 25, and it starts in verse 1, and it goes down through verse 13. And the helpful verses for us are verses 3 and 4. And it's talking about being prepared. That's what the message, this parable is about. Preparation. And so it's talking about verse 3, that work while you are watching and waiting. That's what verse 3 is about. You work, be spiritually, be about your work. And watching and waiting. And then verse 4, it's spiritual preparation. Here, let's start reading down through and you'll see this. It's Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. So we're talking about once we have the second advent. We're talking about this is what it's like. We're looking for the second advent. We're working towards it. Who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. You hear it? We're talking, we're looking, we're still on this side. We're looking to the second advent. And they're talking about preparing. Are you preparing? Verse 2. Five of them were foolish in this example. And five were wise. So five were non-believers, and five were believers. The five who were non-believers were just going through the motions. Notice what he says then in verse 3. For when the foolish took their lamps, and notice what it says, they took no oil with them. No preparation, no godly preparation. Verse 4. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. They spiritually prepared themselves. Verse 5, as the bridegroom was delayed, and they all, that's both the foolish and the wise, became drowsy and slept. It takes a long time waiting for the second advent. But at midnight, there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come to meet him. In verse 7, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And then it said, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Yeah, there was no spiritual preparation here. But the wise said, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, spiritually prepared, went in with him into the marriage feast. Did you hear it? And shut the door. Did you hear Second Advent? You're going into the marriage feast, the Second Advent? And afterward, the other virgins that had been the foolish came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And the Lord answers, truly I say to you, and what did he say? What will he say? I don't know you. You may have gone through some traditions or some spiritual rituals that you thought, but were you doing what my word said to do that would please me? Did you do the preparations from the word of God that please me that you'll say, yes, I want to be with you. I want to be more like you. I want to walk lockstep with you. And so, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This parable was intended to teach spiritual lessons, not about marital rituals. It wasn't about marriage. It was about spiritual preparation. He's using a story to get a point across this point. So salvation of one person cannot be transferred to another person by just buying some oil off. And so we will hear, as verse 12 says, I don't know you, and suggest that they were not genuine believers. Even though they're saying, oh, I'm a believer. Well, are they doing the things that believers are doing of honoring God, worshiping God, asking forgiveness of their sins, repenting, no longer practicing the old way, the old habits, putting them away? In this way, we prepare ourselves, as in, John came saying, prepare yourself for Jesus Christ. Repent, turn, start doing those things that are pleasing to him. Jesus says, the fields are white unto harvest. John's already plowed. He's already seed. Let us now gather in those. Now that that is true, and Jesus has established the new covenant, now we are now part of that family, and we're looking for the second advent, and we are preparing ourselves. We're putting our hope in that Jesus Christ will come back and keep his word, keep his promises, and bring us home to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, at that feast with him. And so I'm going to ask you to notice with me in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And it's verses 35 through 48. This is what Jesus Christ taught the disciples. Be prepared because you will give an account. Everyone will give an account, the believer and the non-believer. We need to be prepared. This is what we put our hope in, that Christ will redeem us. We bow the knee to him. We start listening. We start applying the truths that we learn. And as we learn them, and when we start out, we're not so good. But hopefully over time, we learn how to practice it and use it better. But know what he says here. This is Jesus teaching the disciples. It's Luke chapter 12 and starting in verse 35. And verse 35 says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Now, is he talking about an oil-burning lamp? It's metaphorical language. He's talking about you spiritually being that light in the room, being that Christ-like light in that room. And verse 36, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. You hear Second Advent? We are waiting for the Master to come. So we're saying, I'm ready. I'm preparing myself. I'm keeping that lamp burning, that desire burning. I'm waiting for him. Verse 37, it's Luke 12, 37. Blessed are those servants, that's us, whom the Master finds awake when he comes. Are you and I spiritually awake? He says, truly I say to you, that's Jesus, will dress himself for service at that time, at the second advent, and have them, that's the faithful, who are faithfully waiting, and blessed are those servants. Christ is going to serve us by redeeming us. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. Verse 40, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming, second advent, this is verse 40, at an hour you do not expect. So Peter asks him a question. By the way, I bite my lip because Jesus doesn't give him the answer Peter wants. So he says, Peter says, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone else? As in, am I really involved in this? And then Jesus totally, it's like, I didn't hear that. And Jesus says, who then is the faithful? Who's the wise manager whom his master will set over his house to give them the portion of food to the proper time? Who is there that's going to be there doing the right thing? So Jesus told Peter that you have to behave like following me. This is right at during that first advent. And so notice what he goes on to say in verse 43. Blessed is the servant. That's anybody who bows the knee to him, whom his master will, and notice what does he say at the end of verse 43? Will find so doing when he comes. When will that be? Second advent. Are you prepared? Are you staying, as in verse 35, are you staying dressed for action? And so, verse 44, truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, look what I can get away with. Notice what he says. My master is delaying in coming. And he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. And verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he doesn't know. And then listen, what will happen? This is scary, guys. And I take this personally because as a pastor or as your elder, this is deadly serious. He says, the master of that servant, your pastor, John, will come in a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. In my mind, as a pastor, I'm thinking, John, you can't be playing games. You can't be a good faker, because he will know the difference. He's not playing. I may play a game in my mind, but he's not playing. And he's saying, this is serious. And he's just told this to Peter, that he will bring judgment upon all who are unfaithful to him. And that will be, as we remember in the previous passage, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. And he says, I don't know you. Make sure that your heart is right with him. And so he goes on and he has then grades or evaluations. Notice what he says in verses 47 and 48. Verse 47 says, and that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act accordingly to his, that's Christ's will receive a severe beating because they were playing with sin. That's what verse 47 is. You knew it. You're a believer. And now you're playing with fire. I used to hear a guy talk about, oh, I can do this fast and free. Anyways, we'll end with verse 48. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a lighter beating. And everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. As mature believers, we are responsible to the Lord to recognize his will. We must recognize the spiritual gifts which he has given to each one of us. We must worship him, praise him, glorify him, love him. We need to be aware that we have been given spiritual gifts, spiritual strengths. We all don't have the same spiritual gifts. We don't have all the same spiritual gifts. But what do? We use the ones we have for his honor and his glory. And when you do, you are well-pleasing in his sight. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. We need to be aware that we need to advance the kingdom of God right from where we are. Either by proclaiming the gospel of regeneration to a friend, a loved one, or living it out after we've spoken to them, now you need to live it out in front of them. And when you do, it will either bring, they'll watch you, it'll either bring life to them, or it will bring death to them. You are that living epistle. John is a living epistle. So, John the Baptist helped clear the way for those, what we think of as Old Testament saints, just before the first advent. Brothers and sisters, are we on this side clearing the way for the second advent? Are you and I saying, I love you, Lord, I'm living for you, and as I learn from your word and have opportunity, am I sharing with friends, loved ones? Am I living in a manner that I can be somehow a light shining in the darkness, as in that horrible contrast where Isaiah called them a desert, a wilderness? They were supposed to be God's people. Are we on, which side are we on? Do we love the Lord, bow the knee, and say, yes, Lord, I love you. Lead me and guide me. Shall we close in prayer?